In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. I begin with a sort of house management direction. At the end of this sermon, as a response to the sermon, we will not say the creed, but we will instead sing hymn number 686. So you may want to get that ready, so it doesn't come as too much of a shock when I've changed the tradition of centuries. Psalm 112, verse 8. Their heart is established and will not shrink. The Coverdale version. A version that is one of the most traditional versions. I looked through 20 other versions, and only in Coverdale does the word shrink appear. More of that anon. Their heart is established, and it will not shrink. For a few years between colleges and during summer months, I worked in retail, and somehow the UK retail industry survived. I reflect now with amazement that in one large store, John Lewis, I was put in charge of installing kitchen cabinets. And in a central London store, Gamages, Peter, Richard, you remember Gamages, now defunct, nothing to do with me, I was put in charge of their boating department. Those poor customers, I knew nothing at all about any of the wares I was charged to sell. But during that time, I did hear from time to time about a problem that is common in the retail industry, and it's called the shrinkage problem. I read in one retail magazine, in the retail world, shrinkage, or shrink is the term, used to describe a reduction in inventory due to shoplifting, employee fraud, administrative errors, cash counting, and supplier fraud. And while retailers have to factor loss into their bottom line, it is a costly problem. Well, friends, even more costly and of far more eternal significance is the shrinkage not of retail products, but of the heart itself. In 1535, bless him, Miles Coverdale presented the first complete English Bible to King Henry VIII, and that king needed it. Friends, for no reason at all that I can find, Coverdale introduced the word shrink into the Psalter for Psalm 112, verse 8. And since then, it has been repeated in every Anglican prayer book, including the 1979 Book of Common Prayer. Now, in my confusion, I contacted two, I thought, learned clergy on Aquidneck Island. I said, please help me, what is this about? And one said simply, well, there's no answer to your question. And the other said, quintessential Episcopalian, well, that's the way it's always been. Well, today, publicly, I want to thank Bishop Miles Coverdale for his unique translation. His decision, and I have to pray guided by the Spirit of God, his decision just seized my attention as I read throughout all these lengthy readings. His decision caused me to reflect on the clear and present danger before all of us as spiritual people, doing our best on our path to prevent shrinkage of heart. Looking at the psalm, I see three warning indicators that presage the onset of heart shrinkage. A shrinking heart is limited in scope, verses 1 through 3. It is rarely exercised, verses 4, 5, and 9. And it is woefully too often self-sufficient, 7-8. A shrinking heart is limited in scope. The psalmist begins by encouraging his readers to fear the Lord. Now, this is no craven, timorous, pusillanimous, creeping and bowing before God, but an awesome awareness of the majesty of God. Remember, in our Eucharistic prayer, we are reminded that we have been made bold to stand before God and see him in his wonder. I read this morning in Psalm 96, "Oh, the majesty and the magnificence of his presence. Oh, the power and the splendor of his majesty." We approach God that our hearts may be enlarged as we move out of our often too little worlds. The psalmist speaks of the vastness of God's presence and blessing, not only throughout space, but throughout time. A shrinking heart spends little time exploring the vastness of God and of God's creation, love and grace. This is one reason why we come to worship, to have heart work done and enlarge our hearts. This past week, silly me, I spent time listening to the Senate. I heard this quotation from Oliver Wendell Holmes that really spoke to me. I quote, "Above all, we have learned that whether a man accepts from fortune her spade and will look downward and dig, or from aspiration her axe and cord and will scale the ice, the one and only success which it is his to command is to bring to his work a mighty heart. Our hearts are made mighty as we dwell upon the greatness, the magnificence, the majesty of God." Secondly, a shrinking heart is rarely exercised. In today's psalm, the reader is given the most bountiful of examples to follow, of patterns to emulate, of models to imitate. We're told to be merciful and compassionate, verse 4, to be generous and just, verse 5, to give freely to the poor. Now, perhaps through fear or memories of abuse, the shrinking heart looks not for opportunities to serve, but rather opportunities to hold tightly and not open up. But it is the very experience of the lack of generosity that heart shrinkage takes place more and more and more. Years ago, I remember a fairly new member to a church I served not too far from here. And much to my surprise, new member that he was quite ready to serve as stewardship chair. I know, Gear, not many people rush forward for that office. To this day, I remember his name. I won't give you his last name, Richard. And I was moved not just by Richard's willingness to serve, but by an axiom, a maxim, a saying that he used again and again and again. And he said this, "I believe people at best aspire to generosity." Now, I'll share with you that 4 decades of parish ministry have left me a little jaded and cynical. But his clarion call returns to me. Remember, Alan, that people at their best aspire to generosity. This is the stuff and experience that makes for growing hearts. Its absence leads to heart shrinkage. This week I came across a what I thought a moving quotation from St. Augustine. I wasn't reading some heavy theological tome. It was in a novel by Richard Cornwell. But this is the quotation. I did not love, but I yearned to love. A shrinking heart knows neither to love nor even to yearn to love. And thirdly, a shrinking heart is self-sufficient. There are those shrinking, tender, feeble hearts that have been so wounded in their past that they prefer not to stretch out and ask for help. Their abused vulnerability has now become the excuse or rationale for their shrinkage. But it is the heart that extends, the heart that expands, the heart that enlarges, that knows it needs to call out, to ask for help. This is the heart that is established. Very recently, I received a letter from a good friend who had not been in contact for many months. He has suffered much anguish in these past months. But he realized, thank God, that it was now the time to reach out, to ask for help, rather like the prodigal son who at last came to his senses. It was a moving letter, but I couldn't but smile when I saw the maybe Freudian spelling error in the opening of the letter. Father Neil, spelt F-A-R-T-H-E-R. For too long, we had been too far apart. Since last April, I have rarely talked at length about the 7 cardiac arrests I suffered and the ensuing road I trudged towards recovery. I learned profoundly what I had never learned through decades of pastoral ministry and years of study, that a heart once damaged takes a long time to heal, and it affects the whole person and their dearest ones. For weeks, my world became smaller and smaller, and this is the way I wanted it. But it caused my heart to shrink. For weeks, I teetered on the brink of self-absorption and missed opportunities to exercise my heart in acts and words of generosity. And for weeks, I closed shutters and barred doors. I had become so worn out by days of total dependence upon others that I thought I could do it no more. Thank God for a dear and loving wife who ultimately almost kicked me into inviting others to come and sit and talk and walk with me. Friends, physically or spiritually, and I now sense the line is very thin, we need take care to prevent heart shrinkage as individuals and as a community. And for this, the world is hungry. Let this be our prayer from Psalm 119. Lord, enlarge my heart. Amen. Please join and stand and sing with me hymn number 686.